Everybody rested up from spring break? It's good to be back. As everyone's finding their ways to their seats, I'm going to share a little bit about what I've been feeling. The Lord is drawing us in so tenderly. I've felt for probably the last month or so. He longs and desires to have fellowship with us. Like, that is, we were created for family. So when he created Adam and Eve in the garden, he was to be with them. And that's still his plan today. Fellowship with him requires us to humble ourselves and to seek him. And to seek him in worship and spirit, that spirit and truth worship that Jesus talks about in John chapter 4. He tells us that the Father is looking for a people who will worship him this way. Like, he's searching the earth for a people who will worship him in spirit and truth. So we're going to sit in that place, or in this place, for a little bit. In the stillness. Lord, we honor you. We honor you this morning, and we lift up the name of Jesus. I thank you that you're not in a hurry, and we don't have to be in a hurry. We are not in a hurry this morning. We just want to meet with you. And so, Lord, we yield and surrender our hearts the best that we know how. We seek your face. We want to know you. We need to get used to being still. Where we lay down our busyness and we get still before you this morning. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 days elsewhere. 7, the one thing, the only thing, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in his perfections and meditating in his temple. Lord, we seek you. We seek your beauty. We want to know you, God. Let's sing one thing I ask.
Falling down in worship, it will sing the song of of ages to the Lamb, and all have gone before us, and all who will believe, they will sing a song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name, it stands above and more. All thoughts and dominions, all powers and possessions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, oh, holy, all creation cries, oh, holy, you are lifted high, oh, holy, holy forever. And if you've been forgiven, if you've been redeemed, you sing a song forever to the Lamb. And if you walk in freedom, and if you bear His name, you will sing a song forever to the Lamb. We will sing a song forever and amen. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name, oh, we stand above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and possessions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries,
unexpected. So often God does things that are unexpected, and it's a word that He's put on my heart for quite some time now. There's an event that happened a few weeks before the crucifixion and the resurrection. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and the Sundays after is Easter Sunday, and prior to that, Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the dead. It could have been a few days up to a week or maybe a little over a week before, but it was very close to that that same time. Lazarus was ill, and Jesus got word of it while he was still alive, but it says that Jesus stayed where he was two more days after. And then they traveled there, and by the time that they got there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. In verse 21 of John chapter 11, it says, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha had an expectation of Jesus. She expected him to have the ability to heal her brother's sickness, but she did not have an expectation that he could raise him from the dead. She had a hope in Jesus, but in this instance, she had lost hope. Eventually, they make their way to the tomb. And in verse 39, it says, Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. She still didn't have an expectation that he could raise him from the dead. Her concern was the stench. But Jesus said, I didn't ask you if he smelled. I said, take the stone away. And we all know how that account ends. Jesus called forth to Lazarus, and Lazarus was resurrected from the dead. And there's two things that I believe the Lord is speaking to us this morning. The first is that many of us this morning have had an expectation of the Lord. Maybe it was for a child. Maybe it's for a healing. Maybe it's for something in your own life, a deliverance. And eventually, though, you lost your expectation because he didn't respond in time. And now it seems completely and utterly hopeless. God can still do an unexpected work. It's not too late. It's never too late. There is hope. And the second thing is that we have a response. He never does anything apart from us. We're called to be his servants, his followers, and he asked them to do something. He said to remove the stone, and again, her response was, but Lord, he stinks. He may ask you to do something that makes absolutely no sense, and I want to encourage you to step out in faith, trusting that he can do the unexpected. If either of these things speak to you, I just want to ask you by faith to raise your hand, and I want to pray over you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of the unexpected. Lord, I thank you that you go beyond our expectations. Our thoughts are far below your thoughts, and our ways are far below your ways. I thank you that you are beyond them. You're beyond our expectations, Father. And I pray for every brother and sister here that may have gotten to a place of hopelessness in an area of their life, Lord, where they had an expectation, but they gave up because it didn't meet their expectations. You, Lord, if we're honest, we were telling you that you didn't meet our expectations, Lord, and we repent of that this morning. Lord, we know that your way is best. Lord, we ask for your kingdom to come, your will to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we give up our expectation and just expect you to do what only you can do. And Father, I pray that our ears would be opened, our hearts would be open to hear your word and receive it. And when we hear you say, take away the stone, that we'll respond in obedience, Lord, and not in doubt, that we will trust you, that you will do the unexpected. We give you glory and honor and praise this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, you may be seated. We are so glad that you are with us this morning for worship, and it is my honor to introduce to you our speaker this morning, Pastor Mark Allen, and his wife, Pastor Lisa, was able to join him on this trip. We hadn't, I've met her many times. Y'all had not had the pleasure of meeting her, but we're so happy that she was able to join him this time. Many of y'all have heard him speak before. He's a gifted speaker and leader, and he has been a senior pastor for over 30 years and is the founding pastor of Life Fellowship in Athens, Texas. And we're so glad that he is with us today, and he will be up in just a moment. But for now, will you take a look at this?
Good morning, New Covenant Church. If this is your first time visiting with us in person or online, welcome. We're so glad that you've decided to worship with us today. At New Covenant Church, we invite all people in the communities where we live to know, hear, and respond to Jesus Christ. You can learn more about NCC, become part of our church family, or join the volunteer team by going through our Connect class online or by attending one of the upcoming in-person classes. If you'd like to bless what God is doing through the ministries at NCC with your tithes and offering, you can use the offering boxes or give online at newcovenantlampasas.com. If you've got any questions about what's going on here at NCC or want more information on how to get connected, please stop by the hub after the service. Again, we're so glad you're here with us this morning. Now let's open and prepare our hearts for the word.
Good morning, New Covenant. Are y'all glad to be here today? Man, it is such a joy to be back with you again. I actually had this thought this morning, and I felt like it was a word that God put on my heart to just mention to you. And so the Bible talks about, one of the verses of Scripture says, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I want you to think about that statement. So if you think about shout unto God with a voice of triumph, he's not talking about clap your hands. Yoo-hoo, okay, right? So if it's a voice of triumph, then we'd have to recognize that we win, that we're victorious. Can we all agree with that? And so I want you to think about this. There's a word for clap. There's actually four different words in the Hebrew for the word clap. One of those words for the word clap is the word in Hebrew is the word taka. I know we're in Texas. I didn't say taco. I know that you thought I said taco, but it wasn't. Taka. And that word taka means to crush. So when every time you clap in your hands, it's like you're crushing something. So to really bring that home, if you go all the way back in the book of Genesis, you have the story of Adam and Eve, and of course we know that they sinned, and then God proclaimed a curse. You remember that? He said there's going to be a curse for a woman, there's going to be a curse for the man. And then he begins to talk about the second Adam. He's not just talking about the first Adam. There would be a second Adam. We know that second Adam to be Jesus, who came in flesh. And so he says to Satan, you will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. So in a very real sense, every time we clap, we're reminding Satan of his position, that you are crushed through the second Adam, Jesus Christ, and what he did on Calvary's cross. So this morning, can we give a great big hand clap of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done? And let's shout unto God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I always think it's interesting when you go to a church and you say, shout, and you can always tell the one or two, they're like, shout. They're like, ooh. Okay, let's shout unto God like we mean it, because we are victorious through Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. By the way, I want to give it up for your pastor, for Pastor Chris, and for Candy. Haven't they done a tremendous job here at New Covenant? Can we honor them today? So very proud of those guys and proud of Pastor Chris. You may not know this. I'm actually a part, and your church is a part, of TFAC, which is Trinity Fellowship Association of Churches. And so I work full-time for Life Fellowship, but I work part-time for TFAC. And Pastor Chris, just recently in this past year, we have launched a new coaching group for senior pastors right here in Lampasas. And Pastor Chris is, not only is he impacting your hearts and your lives of the people of this church, but he's also now going to be impacting regionally all the different churches that are in your community. And I am super excited about what God is going to do here in Lampasas, Texas. So can we give it to the Lord Jesus Christ one more time? So a few weeks ago, Pastor Chris called me and he asked me, he said, what are you going to be speaking on? And I told him, I said, I really feel like the Lord's leading me in the area of honor. And we start kind of walk through that and shared with him what I felt like God was laying on my heart. And he says, you know, we have a value in our church. And the value that we have is for unity. And so I don't know if you know this or not, you have several values. Values or virtues, the things that you create as a church, these are things that ought to be set in stone. They should be non-negotiable. You should be like, no, this is who we are. This is who New Covenant Church is. So one of those values is unity. And this is how your church has chosen to define unity. We value unity, not conformity. Each of us are called and gifted by God. Our desire is to walk in each of our unique callings to serve God with respect to one another, with respect to one another, in relationship with one another, and recognizing that each of us are a part of one body and one team. So I want to talk about honor today. And I know you may think that honor and unity don't go hand in hand, but here's what I've learned, and that is there's something that makes certain churches successful, and when this element is not involved in other churches, it shows their unsuccess in church. And so I would say this, you might define that as unity. You might say, you know, have you ever been to a church, you just go, well, they're just so unified. They just seem to be all together. They seem to be of one mind. They seem to be of one spirit. There's something unifying about what's going on in that church. And here's what the element that I think that creates unity within a congregation, and that would be honor. One of the things I've noticed, you know, I get to be in churches all over the country. And what's really interesting is finding churches that have a high level of honor, and those churches that have a high level of honor, God, for whatever reason, is blessing them. And you're like, wow, what is this thing? One of the things I've noticed about Trinity Fellowship over in Amarillo, love their church, love the pastors that are there. But you will, if you ever walk in and talk to their staff there, it's one of the most honoring staffs of each other. You rarely ever hear anyone talk ill of other staff members. You hear the staff members talk very highly of their pastoral team. You hear their pastoral team talk really highly of their staff that are in the church. You hear their congregation. When you get to sit and talk to some of their congregation, you hear the congregation speak super highly of all their staff that are there, and the staff speaking super highly of the congregation that's there. And there's just some kind of, there's a difference that's going on in that church. When I get to travel around, I find churches that have this same level. They have honor in their church where they honor one another. They love one another. They care for one another. And when they figure this thing out, God supernaturally shows up and begins to reward that church. And so here's what I'd say to you. God has a reward. There is, let me say it another way. God has success for the churches that figure out how to honor each other. So I want to just kind of start with this premise for this message on honor, and that is God has an authority structure. You need to understand that. God has an authority structure. And by the way, there's multiple levels of authority structure. There's the authority structure of the home. There is the father. There is the husband. There's the wife. There's the children. And by the way, when we get this authority structure mixed up, which is kind of, I think, pretty common of our society today, we're allowing children now to be the authority structure for the parents. Listen, when you put it upside down, God says, I can't honor that. I cannot bless that. I cannot reward that. So God has an authority structure, and when we fit and fall within the authority structure that God has given, God says, I can bless that kind of thing. Let me just show you part of God's authority structure. In a moment, I'm going to have you turn over to Matthew 10. So if you want to get ahead of me, I'd like for you to read along with me. And so if you want to find two passages, we're going to read a bunch of scripture today because I believe it's the Word of God that produces faith in our life. And so we're going to read a bunch of scripture. But the two passages I'd really like for you to turn to are Matthew 10 and then turn over to Philippians chapter 2. We'll end in Philippians chapter 2. But before we get there, in Matthew 28, and in verse 18, Jesus makes, and probably one of the most quoted scriptures in the Bible is Matthew 28:19, that says, go therefore in all the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And here's what he says, and I'll be with you. But the part we tend to miss is verse 18, where Jesus starts off, before he says go, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he says, because I have all authority, you can now go. And he ends with, I'll be with you. So you need to understand God has an authority structure. And it starts for us in the church as Jesus being our authority, but then he has other authority structures within that church. And by the way, it's not just in the church. We have an authority structure in our world. Anyone who says, I don't believe in an authority structure, well, you probably have never voted in an election. I'm just saying to you, we have an authority structure. We have a, listen, how many of you are glad that we're a part of the great nation of the Republic of Texas? I mean, isn't it great? So, I mean, I love Texas. I mean, there's just something about it. And by the way, I'm also proud to be an American, to be a part of the United States of America. But I'm not always proud of our country and the direction our country is going. But listen, God has an authority structure, and the Bible says that no leader is in place without him allowing it to happen. I need you to understand that. And by the way, I think that one of the reasons God is allowing what is happening in our country right now is because he's preparing for the great day of the Lord. I believe that the return of Jesus is coming soon. We need to understand that. So, but I want to read a verse of scripture for you. I want you to see God's authority structure. See if you see it within this passage. So turn over to Matthew 10 with me. Matthew chapter 10. And I want you to notice what he says. And we're going to read this twice today, but I'm going to read it two different ways, okay? So look to Matthew 10, look down to verse 40. And again, it's very important that you see this. By the way, I know we put the words on the screen. It's great. And some of these verses, I'm going to go through them so fast today that it's good that we have them on the screen. But you need to have a Bible and you need to spend time in God's Word. Okay? So notice what he says in verse 40. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Okay, I want you to notice this. He's literally talking about honor. But we don't typically see it because of the way that words are translated for us. So let me reread that passage one more time. And I'm going to substitute the word receives for the word honor. And see if you catch what he's actually trying to say to us, okay? So let's read it one more time. I'm going to move one word, but it actually can translate the same. So he says this, verse 40. He who, and again, English says receives, but we're going to use the word honor. He who honors you honors me. Do you see it? Okay, watch this. We're going to read the whole thing again. He who honors you honors me, and he who honors me honors him, honors the Father, who sent me. And he who honors a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Okay, and so I want you to notice this. If we figure out honor and we do honor in the right way, notice that what follows honor is a reward. If I were to ask you this question today, how many of you would like to receive an honor or would like to receive a reward from your Heavenly Father? How many of you would like to have that today? Can I see your hand? I'd like to have a reward from the Lord. Hopefully every one of you can say, I'd like to have a reward from the Lord. I'd like for God to honor me. So how do I do that? So he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who honors a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's, here it is again, reward. And then verse 42, watch this. And whoever in the name of a disciple, if you're a believer, you'd be a disciple. By the way, the word disciple comes from the word discipline. Okay, listen to me. You cannot be a disciple if you're not willing to receive discipline. So he says, whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. So listen, the subject is honor. But listen to me, what he wants to do for his people is reward them for honoring. So I just want to, if we think about that statement, just think about what he says. You know, he says, he who honors you honors me. He who honors, he says he gets honor from the Father. He's honoring my Father. So in this passage, and it ends with little ones. So we get three statements out of this little thing. Here it is. Honor is threefold. Honor is above us. Honor is those that are on our level. And honoring is those who are under our care. In other words, another way to say this is, every one of us in our life have people who are above us. Every one of us have people who are beside us. And every one of us have people who are below us. If you're in a marriage situation, there is an honoring situation within the marriage. The Bible tells us about how a marriage should work. It says it starts with the husband. Husbands, love your wives in the same way that Christ loved the church. Okay, and by the way, Christ, can we all agree Christ is the head of the church? Can we all agree with that? And he says in the marriage situation, he set a husband in a certain position. I like how Matthew Henry says this, because a lot of times when we start thinking about this statement, we start getting all bowed up about it, you know, because here's what Matthew Henry says. Matthew Henry says that when God made woman, he did not take a bone out of Adam's head where she could lord over him, nor a bone out of his foot where he could lord over her, but a rib from his side. Okay, but it's always funny to me when you begin to preach this passage of Scripture how women will bow up. Because the next one says, wives, submit to your husbands. Why ain't submitting to nobody? Okay, listen to me. What if I were to change that word to honor? Okay, listen to me. You can't submit without honor, and you can't honor without submission. It is impossible. And so even in the home, there is this Christ that's above my husband who's above me, but as a wife, and a wife has to say, I'm going to submit to him. And then in the home, hopefully at some point, by the way, I just say this to you. This is my word for you. If you don't have kids, have lots of kids. I'm just telling you, you need to have lots of them. Have a school bus full. I mean, I don't have lots of kids. There's a blessing in having kids. The Bible tells us, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of children. In other words, go have a whole quiver full of children. I think you ought to have as many kids as you can. But listen, let's not put the kids in the position of authority. Okay, think about it. Honor is something that goes all the way back to the Ten Commandments. Here's what we like to think that the Ten Commandments say. Children, obey your parents. But that's not what it says. You know what it says? Children, honor your father and mother, that it might go well with you all the days of your life. And it's the only law that comes with promise. That if you'll do this, if you'll learn how to honor your father and mother, he says, you'll have long life. Okay, that's pretty good news, isn't it? So listen, honor goes way back. In fact, I would say it goes back before the Ten Commandments. It goes all the way back to when, remember when Adam and Eve sinned? And the Bible says that God came down to man to walk with him in the cool of the day. Okay, here's what you got to pick up in this. Man had already sinned. Now, is God omniscient? In other words, does he know everything? So did God already know that man had sinned? Shake your head yes so I know you're alive today, all right? Or something. Say amen or say yes. Okay. God already knew that man had sinned. But even knowing that man had sinned, he began to call out to Adam. Adam, where are you? I'm here for our relationship. I'm here for our walk today. Adam, where have you gone? And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of God because they knew they had dishonored God. Yet, God desired relationship with man even after man had sinned. Okay, listen to me. Isn't that the most honoring thing that God could ever do for you? Listen, God honored you so much. He loved you so much. He honored you so much that he gave his one and only son. That is, he gave the one thing he only had one of. You ever thought about that? I mean, I want you to think about this. God has lots of everything. He has multitudes upon multitudes of angels. There's multitudes of multitudes of hills. There's multitudes upon multitudes of cattle. The Bible says that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, but there's only one thing that God had one of, and that was his one and only son. And God so honored you that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe on his son, they would not perish but have everlasting life. I would call that God honoring man. Okay, listen to me. Isn't that a crazy thing? Man who sinned, who dishonored God, God was still desiring to honor man and to raise man up through his own son, Jesus Christ. Is that pretty powerful? So here's what I want you to pick up on. God has an authority structure for your life. And listen, he wants us to learn how to honor those who are above us, honor those on our same level, and he wants us to learn how to honor those who are below us. Now, let's break those three things down today, all right? So here's number one, honoring leaders. God has a leadership authority, and there are people who are above us. Okay, watch this. How many of you have an employer? Can I see your hand? You have an employer. Raise your hand real quick. Okay, so you have an authority structure in your life. So I'm assuming the rest of you don't have an employer. By the way, children, your mom and dad are your employer. So let's try that again. How many of you have an employer? Let me just see your hand. Okay, I'm assuming the rest of you are bosses, so I've got a word for you in just a moment, all right? Or at least you think you're a boss, and you're a rebel without a cause. I meet those people all the time where they're a rebel without a cause. By the way, let me just say something about rebel without a cause. Samuel had to go to King Saul, who thought he was everything. And he said to Saul, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Okay, listen, what he's saying is, you want to be rebel without a cause, that's fine, but that's the same in God's eyes as witchcraft. God will not put up with witchcraft. So listen, I'm just going to tell you, we all have authority structure. I am a man under authority. Think about the centurion. Centurion goes to Jesus, says, hey, I've got a daughter, she's really sick. Would you heal my daughter? Jesus said, come on, I'll go to your house. The centurion said, you don't need to come to my house, for I too am a man under authority. And I therefore, because I'm under authority, I now have the authority to tell this one to come and that one to go. Because he was a centurion, he was over 100 soldiers. And yet he said, I only have authority because I have placed myself under authority. Therefore, I can tell this one to come and this one to go. And so listen to me. I want you to get this picture. God is really trying to say to us, we are all under authority on some level. And Jesus says, I've not seen such faith in all the Jews and all those people who are Hebrews. And because here's someone who's not a Jew who said, I'm under authority. God says, now I can reward that. And so Jesus heals his daughter, sight unseen, doesn't even show up and says, it's done. And when he got home, his daughter had been healed. That's pretty powerful. That's a reward for living under honor in your life. And so all of us have authority structures in our life. All of us. I'm a pastor of a church. A lot of people think, well, if you're the senior pastor, you don't have an authority structure. I do. I have an authority structure in my church. There are people that I submit to in my church, under their leadership in my church, because that's an authority structure. I, too, am a man under authority. Because I'm a man under authority, God has blessed me. God has blessed our church. And so all of us have an authority structure in our lives. So we need to learn how to honor leaders. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 says, dear brothers and sisters, can we agree that when Paul says brothers and sisters, he's talking to everyone who's in the church? Three people. The rest, I want to make sure we're all awake. Can we agree that when he says brothers and sisters, he's talking to the church? Okay, so we're all together. Watch this. Here's what he says. Honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. Okay, if you don't know this, a leader is an authority structure. And here's what God's saying. If you'll learn how to honor those who are in leadership above you, he says they work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance in your life. Show them great respect and wholeheartedly love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Now, the last part of that is really a peer level. Learn how to live peacefully with each other. But the inference from this passage is that we ought to honor those who are in leadership, those people who are above us. Okay, listen, y'all, I asked the question at the beginning, how many of you like to receive a reward? Everyone's, oh yeah, I wanted to receive a reward. Well, then if you don't figure out how to honor those who are above you, God will withhold his reward from your life. But there is a reward for those who learn how to honor those who are above them. Okay, watch this. If we honor those who are over us, we receive the reward God gives through their position. Let me read another passage, and this will be very clear. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. It says, slaves, and I know when we talk about slaves, people say, well, I'm not a slave. Okay, listen to me. You know, we don't have slaves in America anymore, Pastor. Okay, listen to me. If you have a boss, then we have a master who is above us. And even if you don't want to call yourself that in that position, when we say yes to Jesus, we are literally saying yes. How are we saved? Romans 10 tells us that if we confess with our mouths, what? The Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people get this thing messed up, and they think when we say Lord Jesus Christ, what we're actually talking about is Lord is his first name, Jesus is his middle name, and Christ is his last name. Like, my name is Daniel Mark Allen. Okay, no. Jesus is his name. His first title is Lord. You know what the Lord means? Master. Boss. I want you to get this. He's our boss. Can you agree that when you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to a boss? Okay, he's our master. And Christ is his last name, or not last name, Christ is the last title in his name, which means he is the Messiah. He is the chosen one. Let me say this another way. He's my Savior. So when we say yes to Jesus, what we're actually saying is, you're my boss and you're my Savior. I trust you. Does everyone get that? That's an authority structure that we place within our life. So he says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Our responsibility as employees is to serve our masters, to serve those who are above us, and to do it not because we're serving them, but because we're serving Jesus. And then it says, try to please them some of the time. I'm just checking to see if y'all are paying attention. Is that what it says? Okay. It says all the time. Okay, let me give you a Greek definition of the word all so that you understand it, okay? In Greek, the word all means all, and that's all that all will ever mean. Okay, how often should we try to please them? All the time. Not just when they are watching over you. Oh, here comes the boss. Come on, let's act like we're working. Pretend to be working. Okay, no. Even when they're not looking. As slaves of Christ. You say, well, I'm not a slave. The Bible says you are. He's our master. He's our Lord. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm. In other words, you know, when they're standing, oh yeah, I love my job. Thank you, boss. Thank you, boss. Thank you for giving me a job. No, you know what he said? No, I'm the same when you see me, and I'm the same when you don't. I'm going to work with enthusiasm when you're standing here, and I'm going to work with enthusiasm when you're not standing here. Why? Because we are ultimately servants of the Most High God. Whatever you want, listen, you want to change your boss's life? Serve him well. You want to change the life of your church? Serve them well. Serve your pastors well. Serve those who are in leaders above you. And when we begin to do that, God says, I can show up and do something incredible for you. Here's what he says. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord may, is that what it says? Will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. In other words, it doesn't matter if you're the boss or you're the employee. It doesn't matter that if we'll learn how to have honor in our life, God will show up and he'll reward you. Remember, you're the ones that said you wanted a reward. So you say, how do I do that? Listen, if you have a boss, Again, working with enthusiasm. I heard this statement quite a few years ago, and it's actually been something I've made a part of my life. And actually, we try to make it as a part of our life in our church. So if you are supposed to be at work at 9 a.m., Vince Lombardi said, if you are on time, you're late. And if you're on time, if you're 15 minutes early. Here's what I would say to you. You want to change the life of your job and the life. Don't show up at the last second and walk in just as the clock says, 9, click. How about we show up at work early and we work with enthusiasm? Do you think your boss might look at you and go, what's going on with this cat? And if you're working hard and with enthusiasm, maybe, as God will reward you, maybe your boss might say, I see it and I want to reward you too. Amen. I'm just telling you, here's a good hint for getting ahead in life. Don't be late, show up on time, and be early. How about that? Is that pretty good for us? So, it's a spiritual law. By honoring those God appoints over us, we honor God. In turn, God will honor us. Here's number two, honoring our peers. I have people who I would call on my same level. Pastor Chris is a pastor. He's a senior pastor. I'm a senior pastor. I honor Pastor Chris. Before I ever came here, Pastor Chris called me. He says, hey, what are you thinking about speaking on? I said, I really feel like I need to go in the direction of honor. But here's my question for you. Does that fit for you? Do you feel that that's something, a direction that I should go? You say, what were you doing? I was submitting to a peer. Is this a good direction? If there's another direction you'd rather me go, I'm willing to go that direction. Pastor Chris says, you know, that's actually one of our values in our church. Unity is one of our values in our church. I said, man, send that to me. I'll put that as a part of my message. You say, what are you doing? I'm honoring those who are on the same level with me. So Romans chapter 12, verse 9 says, don't just pretend to love others. You know, that's what a lot of us do. We have employees that we work around, people that we that are the same level as us. And we pretend that we like them. But in our hearts, we're like, I don't like that guy at all. He's always trying to beat me. He's trying to get ahead of me. He says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. This is what God has called the church to. He's called us to honor those that are on our same peer level. Each of you have peer people. You have people that are on your peer level. Listen, if you live in a certain neighborhood, those people that are in your neighborhood, most likely, most of them would all be your peers. How do you do it honoring your neighbor? Loving your neighbor as you love yourself. God has called us to love people. To honor is to genuinely love. It takes both holy fear and unconditional love to walk in true honor. So here's number three. God's calling us not only to honor those above us, not only to honor our peers, but here's the third thing, and that is God has called us to honor those that are entrusted to us. In other words, those who are in our care. Your children are in your care. God, and I know this sounds funny, but we would talk about children honoring parents. That's up. But listen, how are you at honoring your children? The Bible talks about fathers not causing your children to go into despair because of the way that we treat them. I would just challenge you about this. We need to honor our kids. Dad, listen, let me tell you, dads, you need to hear this. I think one of the most powerful things that you can ever tell your children as a father is to say to them, I'm so proud of you. Many times we as fathers miss this great opportunity. By the way, it comes more real and more sincere to me now than ever. I now have a grandbaby. And by the way, last time I was here, I did not have a grandbaby. So I'm a brand new grandparent. I know I look too young to have a grandchild. But Lisa, my beautiful wife who's over here, we got married when we were 12. And so, you know, not really. But now that I have this grandbaby, it has become more apparent to me than ever the importance of honoring my children and my grandchildren and telling them how proud I am of them. And this little grandbaby who's about 7 months, is she Today, I knew it. See, how about that? I was all in that. Didn't know. Anyway, so 7 months old. Every time I'm holding that child, I'm praying, God, for this little baby, I pray you will raise her up, that she'll be a woman of God. She'll be mighty in stature. And God, I pray that she will be raised. Father, I'm so proud of her. I'm so proud of my children. And I pray you'll raise her in the admonition of the Lord, and that one day she'll know you in a way that is like no other. And I pray over her and I prophesy over her. But you say, why do you do that? Because I am honoring her, because I'm believing the best that God has for her life. Dads, grandparents, you need to speak over your grandchildren. And that mom and dad, you need to speak over your children in an honoring, Christ-centered way. Raise up a child in the way they should go, not in the way they shouldn't. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. Is that pretty good? So we need to honor those that are entrusted to us. And it's not just children. That means if you're a boss, then you have people who are under you. Don't treat them like dirt. Amen? I mean, I know there's none of the bosses said amen, only the employees. Amen. Stop treating me like dirt. No, listen, I'm just saying to you, I try and treat my staff with honor because they are worthy of honor. So let me give you some verses about that. Ephesians 6, verse 9 says, masters, treat your slaves, if I just change that word, bosses, treat your employees in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same boss in heaven, and he has no favorites. I always like this verse. He says he has no favorites, but I don't know if y'all know this or not. I'm God's favorite. Okay, listen. Someone says, how can you say that? God has no favorites. Listen to me. We are all favored of the Lord when you know Jesus. Listen to me. I'm his favorite. So are you. You're going to say, I'm God's favorite. I'm God's favorite. You are God's favorite. He favors you. But listen, he rewards those who honor. And so he's saying to you that if you have people who are under you, and we all do, we have people who are under us, and we have people who are on the same level as us, we have people who are above us. If we learn how to honor those who are below us, God says, I don't show partiality. And what he's really trying to say is, I'll reward you. I'll reward you the same as those who honor up. I'll honor you the same as when you honor down, I'll honor you the same as those who honor up. Okay, turn over to Philippians chapter 2 with me. We'll close with this passage. Philippians chapter 2. I want you to notice this, and it's very important that you read it and catch it. So I'm going to read this out of the New American Standard Version. Verse 3 says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. So I just want to ask a question, and we're going to go back and read it again. Can we all agree that in the context of this passage, this means to honor others? Okay, let me read it one more time. Does this passage mean to honor others? Let me read it again. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Can we agree that in the context of this, he's talking about honor? There's three people. Say amen. Okay. What context do you see it in? Because what he's saying is, if we'll figure out how to honor and regard people more highly than ourselves, God's trying to tell you, I'll show up and I'll give you a reward for that. Verse 4 says, do not merely look out for your own personal interest. By the way, you can't honor others and be all about you. The reality is, you better learn how to die to yourself. That employee who's always trying to get one leg up on you, you better figure out how to learn how to have honor for that person that's always trying to get one leg up on you. Because listen, I'm just telling you, you say, how do I do that? You learn how to die to self. You learn how to stop being you. Because you know what Mark would want to do? Well, I'll show you. I'll whoop you. Okay? And what God is saying is, die to that. Learn how to honor. Okay, watch this. He says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of other people. Watch this. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, what was Christ's attitude? That he loved you so much that he chose to honor you and give his life for you. Y'all see that? If we can figure out how to lay down our life like Jesus laid down his life, we'll have honor. Not listen, we'll have honor upward, we'll have honor outward, and we'll have honor downward. And Jesus says, I can reward that. Have this attitude, which is in Christ Jesus. And then verse 6 says, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Did y'all pick up what he said? That he chose, even though he was God, to humble himself in humility and in honor of the Father, and to make himself a servant of all. If your Father in heaven can give himself on earth as a servant, can we not have the same levels of honor in our life? And he goes on to say this, but he emptied himself. Verse 8, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. That, I would call that high honor, wouldn't you? For this reason, God highly exalted him. In the context, can we agree that if God exalted him, that would be God honored him, that God rewarded him? Listen to me. This is the coolest thing you'll ever hear. For those of us who believed in Jesus, we have become his reward. Okay, listen to me. I'm telling you, this is why it's so important we learn honor. Because God understood the reward. Do you understand the reward? By the way, here's the greatest reward you'll ever get. Is the relationship that God wanted with Adam in the garden. Some of us don't have that relationship because our honor has been in the wrong spot for too long. And bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Well, can we agree Jesus' name is above every name? And then watch this. This is really good. Watch this. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. One day we'll all honor him. One day we'll all honor him. Of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And if I were to speak about that just briefly, I want you to think about this. Here's what he's saying. Everything in life is about honor. Everything. One day, those of us who are believers and know Jesus will be in heaven. And you know what we're going to be doing in heaven? We'll be honoring the Father and honoring the Son and honoring the Holy Spirit. We'll be worshiping. We will be worshiping. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a glorious, wonderful day. It's going to be a powerful day because we will be his reward in heaven. And it'll be joyful, singing, shouting, blessing. It is going to be, I think, the greatest party that's ever been thrown around the throne in heaven. But here's what that verse says. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So there'll be people in heaven doing that. There'll be people on earth doing that. But here's what he goes on to say, and those under the earth. You know what a lot of people say? They think about hell. When it's talking about under the earth, it's literally referring to hell. And you know, a lot of people say, well, you know what? I'm probably going to go to hell, but it's okay. I'd rather go to hell and party with my friends. Okay, listen to me very carefully. Do you know what you'll be doing in hell? You won't be partying. Okay, listen to me. What people in hell will be doing is the same thing we're doing in heaven. We'll be bowing our knee at the name of Jesus and honoring him. And you know what they're going to be doing in hell? Bowing their knee and saying, I should have believed. He really was the Christ, Son of the living God, and I missed it. And they will honor God from hell. I don't know about you. I think it might be more rewarding to be in heaven. And it's not too late. You can receive Jesus today and go and be in heaven with us and honor him and bless his holy name and do it his way. And then verse 11 says that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord. That's an authority structure. To the glory of God the Father. I want you to think about this. Jesus gathered fishermen, nobodies, to himself. Maybe you're here today and you think, I don't know if God could ever use me. I don't know if God could ever... I'm the smallest of my clan. That's said throughout Scripture over and over again of people. Here's the great news. God wants to use every one of us. When Gideon said, I'm the least, God says, you're the one I want to use. When you think God can't use you, you're the one that God says, because the Bible says he chooses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. You say, well, Pastor, I'm the lowest person on my job. I'm telling you, if you learn the system of honor, God says, in my kingdom, you're great. And you're the person God wants to use. The question is not whether God wants to use you. The question is, will we choose to submit and honor the Lord within his authority structure? Can I pray for you? Just ask everyone just to bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. I like to close with this question. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Would you just ask that right now? Just say, Lord, what are you saying to me? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Would you show me through this message areas of my life where I'm not submitted, where I don't honor? And then let God show you. Ask those three questions. Lord, are there people who are above me that I don't honor? God, are there people who are my peers that I don't honor? God, are there people that are entrusted to my care that I don't honor? And then when God shows you one of those, you say, what do I do with this, Pastor? I've not been doing what I need to do. What do I do with this? Okay, listen to me. You repent. Repentance is not being sorry you did it. Repentance is changing your thinking about it. So you repent. You change your thinking. If you're a boss, you go, you know what? I'm going to go back to work tomorrow, and I'm going to find out how to honor my employees. If you're an employee, you say, I changed my thinking about this, and tomorrow I'm going to go home, and I'm going to go back to my job, and I'm going to figure out how to honor my boss. Whatever level you're at, we can choose new levels and higher levels of honor in our life. It's saying yes to the Lord. So the Lord says, do this. You know what our reply always is? Yes, Lord. Yes, boss. Yes, master. I'm going to say one last prayer for us. And if you need prayer, in a moment, there's going to be a team of people who are going to come here to the front. And if you need prayer for any reason, we don't invite you to come. If you're here today and you're struggling in a marriage situation, maybe you haven't been honoring in the marriage situation. How awesome would it be that a husband would take his wife by the hand and say, come on, let's go put things right between us and God again. Let's put our thinking right again. Maybe you're here today and maybe you're a child, a young person. Maybe you haven't been honoring of your parents. How awesome it would be that you would go and say, I want to put Jesus back in the middle of things again in my relationship with my home. If you're here today, you've never met Jesus. How about call him Lord today? And if you don't know how to invite Christ in your heart in a moment, you come to the front, put your hand in one of these people's hands, one of our ministry team's hands, and say, hey, how do I invite Jesus in my heart? And they'll show you how to do it. Best decision you'll ever make. So let's not leave here till we've done business with God. If you need prayer for any reason, I want to invite you to come. Are you ready? Father God, we love you. We thank you that you are in this place. Holy Spirit, anoint everything that's about to happen, every decision that's in this room. I pray that homes and marriages will be placed back in right order and right function again. I pray for people on jobs. I pray for bosses and employees that things will be put back in right order again as we choose to submit to you, our Lord, our Savior, our King. We love you, Almighty God, and we bless your holy name in this place. Amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet. And if you need prayer, come on right now. We want to pray for you as we sing this song together. Come on right now. Step out. Come right now. We want to pray for you.
Grace that flows like a river, washing over me. Fount of heaven, love of Christ, overflow in me. Thank you, Jesus. You set me free. Christ, my Savior, you rescued me. And take this life delivered for so love your love. Holy now, devoted to see your kingdom come. Thank you, Jesus. You set me free. Christ, my Savior, you rescued me. You've given me life, you've opened my eyes. I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. You've entered my heart, you've set me apart. I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You set me free. Christ, my Savior, you rescued me.
Father, we confess this morning that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Master and Savior. Father, I pray that the confession of every heart in this world would be that you are Lord, that we would bow our knee now while there is time. Because as Pastor Mark said, the day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open to turn to you now, to honor you now, to love you now, Lord, and that we would honor one another and honor those that we serve and honor those that above us, Lord, that we are in service to. Lord, I thank you for that word. I pray that the Holy Spirit would ignite it in our heart, that he would transform us, Lord, that we would have ideas and ways that would be from the Holy Spirit himself to us, how we can honor those around us, and most importantly, you, Father. Lord, we give you all glory and honor and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we are so thankful that you joined us for worship this morning. The ministry teams will still be available if you need prayer. We are so glad that you're with us. God bless you and have a great week.